mind of mine. But today, I do have one or two things rattling around, because if I was just to preach without reading anything out, then I would just preach on what Emma has brought during worship, because it says a lot of what's in my heart. I'm going to just give it a few moments and see if I can get my scriptures up on the board. So there we go. Nigel has taught me well. What he's told me is this: if there's a problem, turn it off, turn it back on again. So it works. It works. I trust that you're all okay. I did say that would be slightly shorter today, but because of Emma's worship, maybe this is a message I'm meant to preach and to teach on today. And I want to read this portion of scripture to us. Zechariah 4, verse 10. Who dare despise the day of small things? And there are times where, if you're anything like me, that you tend to judge things based on the quantity sometimes. If you have a tree that's laden with fruit, you think that's a good tree. If there's one or two plums and one or two have fell off, you think that's not very good. But who knows this? How many knows that there's times where you have seasons where that particular fruit tree will be laden, and then the next year there's nothing? We've got a fig tree in our garden, or bush, however you want to determine it. And last year it was full. This year there's not one fig on it. And there's a time in our lives, I believe, where we can look at something and we can see it dependent on what we actually do see in front of us, rather than what the Lord has said. And we're talking here, and read around this scripture, you'll see it's about the rebuilding of the temple. And this one is far in superior than the old one. In the olden days, we had this big, magnificent temple. Now we've only got this small, puny thing. And when we look at the story and look at what the Lord said to Zerubbabel, he'll lay the foundation, he'll lay the capstone. And God's doing a work in the hearts of his people in the meantime as it's being built. But for me and you, I want us just to think a moment. Do we take this scripture sometimes, and do we see it manifest in our own lives when it comes to what we see? You know, has God shown you something and you go, yeah, but that's just small and insignificant? You know, so often we can judge something. We can judge a church by how tall the pastor is. We can judge a church by how big the building is, or how many people we have in the congregation. Or we can say, this is what the Lord has said. This is what the Lord is building. He's laid a foundation and he's going to put the capstone. No, he is the capstone. And we're called to do what we're called to do in the meantime. So I want us to be encouraged by one or two scriptures that I want to bring. And I want to look at the life of in 2 Kings. We're talking here about Elisha. Elisha and Elijah, I get mixed up. If we look in 1 Kings, we've got Elijah. And then we have Elisha. And when we look at the life of Elijah and Elisha, Elisha was almost like the apprentice, wasn't he? Can you imagine at times he'd think, well, when am I going to get to do some of the things I see my master doing? When am I going to do some of the things this prophet has done? He had 15 years or so of an apprenticeship of washing the feet, metaphorically and physically, of the one that he was called to serve. Do you think he may have thought at times, what have I signed up to? This is just small and insignificant. Yet we read the end of the story and we see the mantle, don't we? We see the mantle given to him, and we see the miraculous work in his life. But if we just looked at what was happening at the beginning, we would think, you're taking a long time, Lord, to come. It's 2 years now, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And for you and I suggest there's things in our life that we're expecting God to do, but he hasn't done them yet. Let's not despise the day of small things. Let's look at the small that the Lord has given us and believe for the increase. You know, Emma brought that story about Lassie the cat. No, Whiskey the cat. Whiskey the cat, whose best friend is Lassie. You know, God can use a donkey, he can use a cat, he can use me or you. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but he can speak to us. He speaks to us audibly, he speaks to us through his word. He gives us revelation. And there are times in my life, so I suggest there may be times in your life where the Lord has spoken and we just see the small manifesting and we're expecting more. And that's the key, to expect more. In 1 Kings 17, verse 7, sometime later, the brook dried up. If you read this story, you'll see that there was a drought in the land, and it was caused by sin, the sinfulness of God's people. And he caused the skies to dry up and the ground to crack open. And at this particular time, we're looking at this particular prophet. And it says, sometime later, the brook dried up. And that's the very stream, the very brook that the Lord has said, you will drink from this stream. You will drink from this brook and you will be fed by the ravens. And it dried up. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. And when we look through scripture, we can read past the I have directed bit. Because we can look at the brook that's dried up. We can just look at the famine. We can just look at the lack. We can just look at the drought and see the small amount that's on the ground instead of seeing the abundance of what God says through his word. You see, the Bible says that the work that he started, he will complete. Yes? So just as he said, I lay the foundation of this new temple, I will complete it. And he uses the same people. So if God's spoken to you about something, he's given you a promise, the chances are he will cause you to be the fulfillment as well of that promise. That you will see in your lifetime the abundance, the fruitfulness of the word that the God has given you. I have directed a widow. He'd already made provision, and he's already made provision for me and you. Put yourself in that circumstance. You know what it is that the Lord has said to you. And maybe you don't feel he said anything to you. Well, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, you will hunger and thirst for righteousness. But his plan and his purpose isn't that you die of thirst or you die of hunger. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. So what we have here is the Lord has spoken to this man. He's communed with him day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And here he is in this drought situation. And where there's a drought, there follows to be a famine because things can't grow, they can't survive. And God has made him a promise. I will supply your needs. You go to the brook, you can drink, you will be supplied with food. And suddenly they dry up. And the word of the Lord came to this prophet again and said, I will supply you with food. But he had to do something. He had to go to the place he was directed to go. So there are times in my life and your life that the Lord will say, be still and know that I am God. I struggle with that. I'm glad my wife's not in the room because she'd be pointing at me right now. The Lord has said to me many times, and I hope I will get it at some point, be still. Be still. And I struggle with being still. I want to do. But the Lord just say, be still and know that I am God. He will direct your paths. He has directed your path. If he's given you a word, it will come to fruition. It's seed time and harvest. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? Now remember, just get the picture, we're in a drought. Just imagine somebody saying this to you. Just see the picture, just see the miracle that's about to happen. Here we have the Lord has said, I will direct a woman. So he's already placed something within her heart. God has already placed something within our hearts, hasn't he? He's already given us a softness. He's taken away the heart of stone. He's made us supple and soft if we yield to him. So that when that word is spoken, the seed will germinate. I don't believe this scripture tells us that she knew what was going to happen until the man of God said, will you? Bring me a little water in the jar so I may have a drink. As she was going to get it, She was being obedient. He called. And this makes me smile every time I read it. Bring me a piece of bread. Not only has he got the audacity to ask for water in a drought, he also asks for food. As surely as the Lord your God lives, it indicates that she knew who he was. She replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in the jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home, make a meal for myself and my son, and then we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord. Till the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. We have a picture here of faith and faithfulness. And it's easy for us to act in faith when we have plenty, isn't it? When we have a storeroom full of grain, it's easy for us to give a little away. But one of the things that I want us to understand from this portion of scripture is, it was the word of the Lord. And for us as Christians, if we keep close to God, he'll keep close to us. And there'll be a time where you have no idea what God is about to ask you to do. But you'll know it's his word. And when he speaks that word, I want to encourage you, whether you're in a famine or you're in feast, to be obedient. And as we're obedient, then God brings the increase. Let's not despise the day of small things. And maybe this message is just for one of us, me. Maybe the Lord is just speaking to me and saying, Andrew, when you look at something, it may be small and insignificant in your eyes, but I choose the foolish things to confound the wise. I'm the one that does the work. I'm the one that brings the increase. I'm the one that provides. I'm the one that will make sure that you will not thirst or hunger. So for us as a church, as a body, I want us just to reflect on those words and just maybe be able to put our lives in that situation. Maybe there's something that you're lacking in your life. Maybe God is speaking to you afresh. Maybe he wants you to be obedient. Maybe it's 15 years since he promised you this. It's 15 years since you read that portion of scripture, it jumped out and it pierced your heart and you said, yes, Lord, you're speaking to me, and you're wondering when that small thing is going to start to produce more fruit. In 2 Kings 4, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. Now just imagine, he's part of the company of prophets. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me what to do. Tell me what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all. The contradiction, this one, isn't it? She says, I have nothing, except a small jar of olive oil. And there are times where we may think that the well is dry. We have nothing. There's times where in our Christian walk, because we're human, and because we feel pain, and because at times we can be encouraged and discouraged, I suggest there's times where you will say to the Lord, I can't do this anymore. I have nothing left within me except a little faith, except a little humility, except just a small amount of joy, except just this tiny inclination that you want me to continue. And as we acknowledge the small in our lives, I believe at that point, if we'll give that small to the Lord, he will give us more and more. You know, we need to sow seed in order to get a return. And I'm not talking about I'm talking about literal seeds for growing food. I'm not talking about seeds for finances, although that is true. I'm talking about seeds for growing. As we sow, we expect a multiplication, don't we? As we sow one seed to produce an apple tree, we expect an abundance of apples at some point. And I don't know if you know this, but normally, depending on how you buy the plant and how it's been nurtured, it can take up to 3 years for a fruit tree to set roots down in a way that it will enable the tree to be fruitful. If you were to take that tree and transplant it somewhere else, it can take 3 to 7 years to produce the maximum yield, the maximum harvest. So when we're talking about small things and allowing God to cause them to grow, he says, we don't have anything except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go round to all your neighbours for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. In other words, get as much as you can, as many as you can. The big ones, the small ones, and the intermediates, I suggest. Then go inside and shut the door behind you. And your sons pour oil into the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side. You see, so often when God does something in our lives, it's between you and him. And there are times where, you know, we can be in a corporate setting, we can be in a church gathering where there's thousands at a conference, and there's a word that's spoken, and you're just desiring God to do something. But maybe his heart is to wait until it's just you and him behind closed doors. And as you open up your heart, as you pour out to him, he then speaks to you in the privacy of your closet, of your space, in your car. I've said this many times before, but for those that are new in the church, there was a time where every single church meeting I went to, I wanted God to speak to me. And if I went to a conference, I'd go, Lord, speak to me, direct me, tell me what to do. And there was a time there was a meeting in a church in King's Lynn, and it was packed to the rafters, and there was a contingent of people who were coming. There was evangelists and prophets and teachers and pastors, and there was supposed to be works of miracles and everything else. And this minister had a word for everybody, and he was coming around and he was laying hands on people and prophesying over them. And just get the picture. So he speaks to this person, he says, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and I'm standing there. And he goes past me and he goes, thus saith the Lord. And I'm standing there having a conversation with God and saying, Lord, why are you passing me by? What have I done? Just imagine what goes through your mind. Have I sinned? Are you unhappy with me? And then you think, if you're like me, am I a Christian? Was I born again? And these thoughts start to come, because just as the positive comes with the small things, the negative comes. Just that one thought, why are you passing me by? And just as I finished those thoughts, somebody came up to me and they said, and there's somebody I know, and I know very well, somebody that I trust, somebody that doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, very often. And if I'm right, the words were something like this. I don't know if it's for you, but I believe it is. The Lord says, he hasn't passed you by. He hasn't passed you by. When my heart was still, when my mind was clear, when I stopped looking for the miraculous, God spoke in the mundane. So there's times in our lives where we may think, because we don't see the big and the beautiful and the brash, that God has passed us by. God doesn't pass us by. Here's a woman who was going to be bereft because she couldn't pay her debts. She couldn't pay her debts. The creditors were coming. And here the man of God came, spoke into her life. She took the small that she had. Two things had to happen. One, she had to be obedient to what the Lord had said through his prophet. She had to be obedient. And two, she had to have the faith to collect the jars. And as she started to pour, that's when the miracle started to happen. So let's not despise the day of small things. Now, this is a message, not because I believe that we do, but I do believe that we can oversee the insignificant things in our lives because they're not big and they're not brash and they're not beautiful. We can overlook them so easily instead of seeing them as the beginning of something that the Lord wants to do. And the reason I said that Emma had preached my message was because, you know, this woman couldn't pay her debt. And you know, before, if we think about this, we can't pay our debt. But it's been paid, hasn't it? We're no longer slaves to sin, but we're slaves to righteousness. Jesus came to pay the penalty so we don't have to. So if you think about it, we have a lot more in common with these two people that I've just spoken about, who only had a little, than we think, because we had nothing and yet God gave us everything. And that's the beauty of the gospel. So when we look through scripture and we look at what the Lord says to us, and we look at the small and we look at the maybe the insignificant, he can take that very thing and he can bring a multiplication if, I suggest, we mix it with faith and we become obedient to what he says. In this particular scripture, it says in 33 of Matthew 6, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be given to you as well." There's a list of things that we can desire, and the truth of this portion of scripture is still true within the context of what we're preaching today about the small things. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. In both of these situations, it was the man of God that was speaking. It was a word from the Lord. When we think about who God used in that day, he used people to be his mouthpiece. And they had a reputation. And they weren't prophets who would prophesy and nothing would happen. They would prophesy and it would come to pass. And they knew that they were a representation of the Lord himself. That they were speaking on his behalf. What they bound got bound. What they loosed got loosed. When they laid hands, things happened. When they spoke, it came to be. There was a famine. There was a drought. But seek first. So for us, as we look at the small, the insignificant things in our lives, then as we seek God, we will see what he can do. There's an old song that they used to sing years ago. "Look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body. He saved my mind. He's come into my life just in time. Look what the Lord has done." And there's times where we can look back and see what God has done and forget the small things that turned into big things. So I want to encourage us today to be a church, to be a people that will acknowledge what God has started, he will bring through to completion. He's laid a foundation. We know that scripture tells us he is the foundation. I'm not talking about the foundation that the church is built upon. I'm talking about the foundation he's laid in your life. He's laid a foundation and he's going to put the capstone on. He's going to finish it. So whether it's a year or it's 10 years or it's 25 years, if the Lord said it, he will do it. And this is one of the, if we use the word key to these scriptures, the Lord said it. The Lord said it. If we go back to 2 Kings, it talks about the man of God. "I've got nothing here except a small amount of oil. Elisha said, go. And it happened. God spoke and it happened." We look in 1 Kings. He directed the woman. He asked her for food. He asked her for a drink. And then he said, God said. So there's the difference between what I say and what the Lord says. My job is just to edify, just to encourage, just to build up, not to tear down. Is to allow my words to be an encouragement using God's word to encourage you to be who God's called you to be. So if we seek first his kingdom, then everything else will be added. See, there's a building block, there's a process. We have to have a foundation before we can build. So if God has spoken into your life, if he's given you promises, or you've read a scripture that's really jumped out, hang on to it. Pray into it. Say, Lord, show me. Lord, reveal to me. In this portion of scripture in Luke 17, verse 6, he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, read around it. I'm plucking out just individual small portions just to back up what I'm saying here. We're talking about the small things. But the truth is still the same. If we have a small amount of faith, remember, I don't have much, Lord. Well, you've just understood. You've just declared that he's Lord. You've just acted in faith. By praying, you've acted in faith. There are men and women that I speak to at times, and they've gone to hell and back in an earthly sense. And they'll say, oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And then they'll say this, something like this. God, you're going to help me. It takes faith. It takes faith to call upon God. It takes faith to believe that Jesus is Saviour. So even if we have a small amount, we can see mighty things happen. Let's not despise the day of small things. In Matthew 14, 17, we have here only 5 loaves of bread. You know the story. It's about the small amount to try and feed the 5,000. Can you imagine? You know, we've invited you to a barbecue, and Paul turns up with 1 chicken leg. He said, don't worry, I'm going to pray over this. We think he's mad, wouldn't we? But that's what happened here. That's what happened here. Jesus took the small. And there's a principle here that we can learn from. He took the small that the Lord had provided. He gave thanks. And he saw the multiplication. Now, I'm not saying that if 10 people stay for a picnic afterwards and you haven't brought a lunch, I'm going to pray over my dinner and I believe that it will multiply, because I don't have that much faith. But in this story here, Jesus shows us a principle. Seek first the kingdom. He takes what's been given and he's thankful for it. He gives it to the Lord and the multiplication comes. So in our lives, the small that God has already provided, I suggest as we become thankful for the small, we will see the increase. See, why would God give us something more than what we can handle? Why would he give us 3 if we can only handle 1? Why would he give us 5 if we're not even thankful for the 1? So there's a principle in the message that I'm bringing today. Let's not despise the day of small things, but let's believe that God is able. In John 8, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We have a story here of a creditor coming to take the 2 sons to pay for the debt. And for me and you, Christ has paid that debt. This scripture sums it up. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You don't owe him anything. You don't have to earn it. In Christian life, and I preach at times, not just for those that are in the room, but for those that may listen at some point, even if it's by accident going on to our website, they may listen and understand that they can't earn this. They have to receive it. He who the Son sets free will be free indeed. You see, if a random person had come along and said, oh, don't worry about it, just trust. Just trust. There's a God out there somewhere that might do something. Nothing will happen. That's not what was said. What was said was, if you do this, this will happen. You will see the increase. And for us, God has already set us free. We don't need to earn it. We don't need to worry about Satan coming along to claim anything in our lives. We owe him nothing. We've been set free. And for us as Christians, if you ever go through the stage that I've been through in my life, where you wonder, does God love me? You wonder, has he called me? You wonder, am I even a Christian? You wonder, just bear in mind, it's the enemy coming to seek payment from you And your reply should be this: I owe you nothing. Christ paid my debt. So let's not despise the day of small things. Even when we first became Christians and we had that small measure of faith, God can multiply. He can bring the increase. In Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I pop this portion of scripture in so that we understand it's not just poetic license to use scripture to try and create a narrative. It's what the Bible says. He ransomed you. He paid the price so that you could go free, so that your oil could be multiplied, so that your bread could be the food that will feed you. Remember what Jesus said: I am the bread of life. He feeds us. He encourages us. Luke 6 verse 38. Given, it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So many times where ministers, preachers, evangelists will use this message and we'll talk about finances. If you give, it will be poured out to you. You give us 10 and we'll give you 100 back. But this portion of scripture is talking about a lifestyle. And the key in this one is give. Give a cup of cold water. Give a word of generosity in season. Give a piece of your heart away. Give finances to others. Give of the produce that you have in your garden that will rot if you don't. Give it, and more will be given. And if you look at the principle, if you think about it, you could think of this in two ways. You could think, right, well, if I bring a box of apples or plums in, and then God gives me two boxes of, what am I going to do with two boxes of apples? You're going to give two boxes away, aren't you? See the principle? Give, and it will be given. Pushed down, shaken together, running over. So we can give more. And the world says, give so I can have more. The Bible says, give so you can give more. And so that principle is, if you have a small amount and you share the small amount, God will bring in the increase. God brings in the increase. He brings it in because we're his children. He brings it in because we owe him nothing. And yet he wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us so that we can be encouragers. He wants us to be his arms, his feet, his pockets, his mouth. He wants us to bless others. In Zechariah 4 verse 10, who dared despise the day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth? God is watching. God is looking. God is watching. God is looking. God knows you. He understands your heart. Final scripture is this, and we'll ask Emma and Nigel to come and just lead us in worship as we close. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? You understand the story here. You know what's happening. Let my people go. God says, you go and tell them. Yeah, but what about if they don't listen to me? What about if they don't listen to me? What is that in your hand? And if you was just to Google through a reference Bible, you know, in your hand, you'll see time after time the Lord says, what's in your hand? Just a staff. Well, stretch it out and see the waters part. What's in your hand? Just this. Well, throw it down. A staff, he replied. When you look at a staff, it's just a mundane piece of equipment, isn't it? Maybe it's useful for helping you to walk with. If it's a shepherd's staff, it's useful for, I won't go where I was going. It's useful for knocking the wolf out. It's useful for bringing in the lambs as they fall down the crevice. But it's just a stick. And we have in mind sometimes, I suggest, that we can see something that is small and insignificant, and we see it for what it is, small and insignificant. Yet God can take the small and the insignificant, and he can bring the increase. He can make something that seems mundane miraculous. And so to conclude this message today, let's not despise the day of small things. Maybe there isn't anything in your life that you're wondering about, but there might be tomorrow or the next day. And this message will reverberate into your mind and just go, yes, the Lord says that if I take the small and I render it to him, I give thanks and I give honour for what he's given me, he'll bring the increase. It might not be today, but it might be tomorrow, or it might be in 15 years' time. As Elisha got to the point where he was asked, what do you want? And he said, I want a double portion. I want a double portion. You see, when God asks you to provide a jar, you want more than just one. We want a double portion. In Isaiah 61, it speaks of the Lord providing a double portion for his people. He says, instead of disgrace, my people will receive a double portion, inheritance in their land. And God's given us an inheritance, hasn't he? We are his people, aren't we? We are those that have been purchased. He ransomed himself so he could buy us, so that he could set us free for such a time as this. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you take the small, you place it in our hands, and you enable us and you bless us to be able to see the increase in the miraculous. Lord, bless us today, we pray, that we may be a blessing to those around us. Amen.